So this morning, I'm going to talk about being joyful like Jesus. They knew in the worship, but I quite like all the songs. We could just carry on worship. Would that be all right, Emma? Okay. I wonder how many of you listen to the radio. I always listen to the radio on my way into work, and you get a little picture of the people that you listen to regularly, don't you? In your mind, you have this image of what they look like in your mind. And then it gets to the point where you see them. Maybe you see them on the telly or you see a photo of them. And my normal reaction is, no, that's just not them. They don't look like that. That's just not right. How many, everybody else have similar thing? Yeah. Okay, so I think this has happened with me about Jesus in the last few weeks as I've been preparing this. So before I start, I want you to do something for me. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to imagine Jesus, okay? I want you to imagine Jesus is looking at you. What does his face look like? What's the expression on his face? Maybe he's looking at your friends, okay? Now, apparently, some people find it very difficult to imagine faces, so I'll, you know, lay off if you can't get there. Okay, now you've got a picture in your mind. I'm going to show you a few images. So was your picture of Jesus like any of these? So the first one, very serious, really serious. Yeah, Josh is not shaking his head. Okay, I'm a bit like this. Okay, this was me. Okay, the second one, he's serious, finger up. Did you really do that? Did you really think you were going to get away with that? Is that your picture of Jesus? Maybe. What about the third one? Okay, I am Jesus, but I'm so holy that nobody can come to me. No, okay, yeah, I'm really, really there. What about this one? Did you really do that again? Really? Really? There's a lot of the next ones around, so there's a lot of these. Jesus in pain, Jesus on the cross. I didn't know how many kids we'd have left in the room by this point, so I was a bit careful with the images that I picked on this one. Or what about the final one? Is he like this? He has a smile on his face. It's quite hard to find pictures of Jesus smiling. Really is. And I know they're really old-fashioned pictures and, you know, all of that, but he's engaging with the others around him. Now, I have to admit, I was not on this last one at all when I started preparing this sermon. Okay, I was always on one of the first few and probably more to the, what, you did that again? Type. So preparing it has made me rethink, and I'm hoping that maybe it will do for you this morning as well. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you that the things that we picture in our heads aren't always the truth. The things that we think about aren't always the truth, but your word is true. And God, I just ask this morning that as we look at you, that you would enlarge our picture of you in our minds, that you would enlarge what we have in our heart, and that you would enlarge our love for you. Amen. So we're going to look at four things. We're going to look at, what does it mean to be joyful? Was Jesus really joyful? What made Jesus joyful? I'm hoping you're persuaded by the one before to get to that. And how does it apply to us? So first of all, what does joyful really mean? Being full of joy is an adjective, as in it's in your heart, isn't it? You have joy in your heart, as one of those songs said this morning. You're glad, you're delighted, you're enjoying things. I don't think I'd quite linked the fact that the word rejoice goes with joy. Okay, I know I'm a bit slow on the uptake sometimes. But when we're full of joy, we naturally rejoice, don't we? If something happy's happened, if something really nice has happened, you want to tell people about it. You know, you're getting married. Everybody knows, don't you? Don't they? You're having a baby, or you've had a baby, maybe not to start with. You don't tell everybody because you're just too sleep deprived. But you want to tell people. Maybe you've got a new job. You want to tell people, you're excited. Great exam results. You're excited. You want to tell somebody. You want to celebrate. Before I go on, I don't think joy and happiness are quite the same thing. So happiness comes and goes with those circumstances that I've just told you about. You know, you can be happy because you've had a great morning. It doesn't necessarily last into the afternoon. You know, you can walk out of here and something else happens and you think, oh. Joy is different. Joy lasts. Joy is deep in our heart and it remains regardless of the circumstances. So secondly, was Jesus really joyful? Is that how you picture him in your heart? When you're sitting alone with God, do you picture him as joyful? I want to say I am now persuaded, and I think Jesus was probably a really fun guy to be around. Psalm 21:6 tells us, surely you have granted him eternal blessings and made him glad with the joy of your presence. So this is talking about Jesus. He's been made glad. How? Because of God's presence. Let's look at Jesus in the Gospels. He was invited to a wedding. We often think about when he was invited to the wedding at Cana. Oh, that's because he did the wine thing. You know, it's just about the wine. But actually, why did he go? He went because, it says in John 2, Jesus and his followers were also invited to the wedding. Why did they invite him? Well, they didn't invite him because he did miracles, because he hadn't done any miracles at that point. They invited him because they liked him, because they thought, yeah, come on, come and join the party. Children came to him. I don't know if you noticed, but if you have a really somber face and you're slightly austere, children don't like to approach you. So I'm a secondary teacher and people say to me, if you have a really difficult class, actually smile. I know you don't feel like smiling, but smile and it makes a big difference. Apparently. I don't always manage it. Matthew 19:14 says, but Jesus said, let the children come to me. Don't stop them. Kids wanted to come to him. He must have been approachable. He went to people's houses and he ate with them. He feasted and partied so much that he was accused of being a glutton and a drunkard. Matthew 11:19 says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. He enjoyed life, didn't he? Jesus was questioned about why he and his disciples didn't fast. It was noticeable that they were feasting. Luke 5 says, they say to him, John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours, they go on eating and drinking. He had fun with people. People were drawn to Jesus. He was always on the guest list. Thousands came to hear him. Hundreds of people followed him. They shut down businesses and walked away from careers just to follow him around. This is some guy. His purpose statement, so in John 10:10, it says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Other versions state it as, I came to give life with joy and abundance. I think he had to have joy to be able to give joy. I also think he brought joy to the people he met. So the woman at the well, she was ostracized by everybody else in the society. She left her water carrier and went back to that society to tell everyone that he was the person that told her everything that she'd done. All those bad things, he told her. And she was so excited, she had joy about it. She wanted to go back and tell people. Blind Bartimaeus, Jesus healed him and said, go, your faith has made you well. Did Bartimaeus go away? No. He followed Jesus down the road. He just followed Jesus. Zacchaeus in Luke 19 was called from up a tree so that he could eat with him. Zacchaeus was excited to be with Jesus. Surely that wouldn't have been the case if Jesus wasn't a joy to be around. And I've just picked a few. I think you could go through the Gospels and pick out lots and lots of examples of times when Jesus had people around and he made them happy. He healed loads of people. They must have been happy. to the point where Jesus had to go away on his own to find time to pray. He was always with people because he was fun to be around. Slightly persuaded yet? Yep. Okay. Right. Okay, in that case, what made Jesus joyful? What brought him joy? Let's start with what didn't bring him joy. It wasn't a nice house that was nicely decorated in the latest style. He didn't have a house. It wasn't the latest gadget or the latest phone or the latest whatever it is. He had really, really little. It wasn't even, when you think about it, the thought of good times to come. The last thing in his life that he knew he was going to do was go to the cross to die on the cross for us. His joy came from a relationship with his Father. It was knowing that he was known and loved. His joy came from obeying God, the Father, and completing the mission that had been set before him. In John 15, it says, "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." So Jesus was keeping the commands and remaining in his love, and that gave him joy. "I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." Look at the end of the verses. "My joy." Jesus was saying to his disciples, "I'm joyful, and you too can have that joy." Hebrews 12:2 says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God." Jesus' joy was finishing the work that he'd been given to do, going to the cross for our sins, and receiving the reward for doing what he was called to do. And that was seeing many people come to salvation. We are Jesus' reward. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? We are Jesus' reward. And that's what he looked forward to. His joy was obeying the Father and seeing the great results from that obedience. But go back to the verse again. "I have told you this, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." His joy can be in us. This isn't out there saying, "Oh, it was all about Jesus." This is actually, this can be something in us. We have that joy by being in relationship with God. It isn't dependent on what we've done. It isn't dependent on, you know, what you're going to do tomorrow. It's dependent on our relationship with our Heavenly Father, by remembering that he's always with us, by the hope of our salvation. Yes, it helps to be obedient to God in all kinds of circumstances, but that's not the first part. The first part is having relationship with God. It's not just about the future. Do you know, it's not just about, oh, what's going to happen when we die. It's actually about now. You know, we don't just have to put up with things being okay because in heaven we'll get our reward. I don't think Jesus lived like that. He was a charismatic guy. He really enjoyed life. People wanted to be with him. I thought, as I was thinking about this, I thought, do you know, how many people obviously couldn't do this, go and walk on water, but surely there was a boat. Surely there was another way to get across the lake to the other boat. But no, let's just have a bit of fun. Let's go and walk on the water. I'm not minimizing the miracle. I'm just saying, actually, he was a fun guy, wasn't he? Other people might have thought of other ways. Equally, he knew what he had to do and he did it with all his heart. God gave him a job to do, and even though it meant facing something terrible, he went and did it. There's a bit of a lesson in that for us, isn't there? That actually sometimes we need to find the thing that makes us happy and do it to the best of our ability. So a lot of people, I'm a secondary teacher. Today is not the nicest day of the year. I've just had my holiday and tomorrow I'm going to get up and go to work. And people say to me, do you like your job? Actually, yes, I love my job. I don't like it today. But, you know, most of the year, I love my job. I love standing in front of a group of kids and teaching them and seeing that they understand chemistry, okay? I just love it. I know everybody, other people will think that's weird, but that's okay. God put that in my heart, and that's what I've done. And I try and do it to the best that I can do. So he wants his joy, not his joy to be ours, right? Not just that it's joy that we have, great that we have a new job, a new house, something works well. But Jesus wants us to have joy that he will pour into our hearts. Jesus sends out the 72, telling them to go. The harvest is plentiful. Let's look at what he says when they return. In Luke 10, it says, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, which is what they're doing, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. He heard that their mission was successful. Yeah, the 72 went out, they healed loads of people, they told people about Jesus, they had a great time. It was really exciting. But the overflow of joy that Jesus gets from hearing about this is praise to God the Father. And he's full of joy. He's not making it. It says he's full of joy through the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is giving him that joy. He's not working at it. Yes, he's thinking about it, but he's not working at it. It's bubbling up because the Holy Spirit is dwelling in him. And he tells the 72, don't rejoice because of the fruit of your ministry. I mean, he's recognizing that's great, but he's actually saying rejoice because of what God has already done, that your names are written in the book. So it's not Jesus rejoicing in the fact that he gave great sermons. He fed thousands of people. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. The bottom of his joy was not in what he did in the world, but whose he was. He belonged to the Father, just like we should. So, some applications. I like application. Okay, I like to be practical, and I am going to give you a practical thing to do right at the end of this. So I've got four things. First of all, joy comes from a relationship, a conversation with God. It doesn't have to be long. Raph reminded us that praying can be short things. It can twist the point in our day. It can be an ongoing communion with God. That matters. Why does it matter? You know, I don't go and ask my headmaster and speak to him in the same way that I would go and speak to my husband. Okay? I would ask my husband, Phil, for help in ways that I would never go and ask my boss. When we know Jesus, we are brave to ask him things. Yeah? My dad was quite severe. He was one of the very first pictures of Jesus. Okay? He was a severe man. And there were a lot of times I wouldn't have asked him for help. I would have gone and asked my mum, but I would never have asked my dad for help. He might have been really willing to give it. Jesus is on that. He's willing to help you. He's giving you his joy. He wants you to ask him. He wants you to have that relationship. And it's never too late. So if you're sitting here this morning and you don't know Jesus, it is not too late. Secondly, slightly controversially maybe, it isn't all about us. Yeah, Jesus gives us his joy to communicate with other people, to give joy to other people. He lifts our heads so that our joy can flow out of us to others. John 15:11 says, I have told you this, my joy can be complete, so that your joy can be complete. And the next bit I didn't read, says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. In verse 12, there's an outworking of that joy to others. When I was thinking about this, I thought, actually, do you know, I've really much more enjoyed my kids' birthdays often than I enjoy mine. Mine's a bit stressful. I mean, kids' birthdays can be really stressful too. But actually, it's enjoyable giving somebody else joy, isn't it? It's enjoyable giving things. And sometimes we need to be slightly intentional about what we can do to bring our colleagues, our workmates, our family joy. Thirdly, joy doesn't mean pretending everything's fine. We all go through struggles. We all go through difficulties. There are times in everybody's life that it's hard. It means believing that even in pain, even in your struggle, something beautiful is being born. Jesus still had sorrow. He wept. He was a man of sorrows. I'm not saying we should be all laughing and joking all the time. I'm saying that we should trust God in our pain, that actually through that, he is working. God is the God of all comfort. Dan's talked about us building a community in the north. The word community is important, isn't it? We are not called to faith on our own. We're called to faith in community. That means sometimes in your pain, hard as it may be, you have to reach out and ask somebody to help you. And that's what we're here for. So sometimes just talking something through, sometimes it could be practical help, but please ask. Please get into community and ask, because God works through community. And lastly, we need to cultivate joy. Okay, Jesus did this by spending time with his Father, by spending time relaxing with his friends. He ate with them, he walked along the road with them, and by doing what he knew the Father wanted him to do. Now, I think I'm a bit like a leaky sieve when it comes to joy. And there are days where I come to church in the morning and by 2 o'clock, I'm like in a grump, okay? And it'll drift away. And we need to be reminded that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Fruits, by their very nature, need watering, don't they? They need a bit of nurture. You need to wait. Takes a long time sometimes. You don't plant an apple tree one day and get apples off it the next, do you? It takes years to get a good crop of apples. They need feeding. They need time to grow, just as the joy in our hearts needs the same. It comes from God's work in our lives, not the things we do, the things we buy, or the food we enjoy eating. Often, the joy of the world is a bit like a roller coaster. It's short-lived. It comes and goes. The joy of the Lord is deep-rooted and long-lasting. It's our strength. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. So, as I've already said, I am a chemistry teacher, and I do love my job. However, I also know my timetable for next year, having taught it for a few weeks last term. And I know that I have a very difficult, not just by my standards, but by the department standards, second year class coming to me last thing on a Monday afternoon. When I have taught 6 other periods all through the day, so it will be one of those days where I'm racing to catch up. And I know that this class are going to come in last thing of the day, and I know that they are going to be a challenge, and I know that there are going to be days where I'm going to stand there and think, I am not in control here. And there are days where I'm going to walk out and feel like crying at the end of the day, okay? However, and you can ask me this through the year, okay? What I need to remember is that actually, I've probably taught 6 other really, really good lessons in that day. And the thing that I will go home thinking about, partly because it's last lesson of the day, but partly because it's the worst, is that one lesson last period of the day. I'll also be dreading it all the way through the day, by the way, but never mind. And Julie said to me, you're thinking about it too much, and it's going to happen because that's what you're thinking about. I'm like, I've already met them. And two of the girls have already decided that they hate me, and therefore they haven't come for the rest of the term. So that's a bonus, but never mind. So I have a choice, don't I? at the end of Monday. By the time I get home on Monday, however I get home, I need to be in that place where I'm thinking not of that last lesson, but I'm thinking of the rest of the day. Yes? And when Jesus was giving instructions to his followers, sending out the 72, he told them, if you go into a town and you're not welcomed, move on. Yeah? Sometimes we need to move on from our thoughts. Sometimes we need to think, okay, somebody said something. Do you know what? They were probably having a bad day. And that came out wrong. And I need to move on. Early in Jesus' ministry, the people of the synagogue heard his teaching and they drove him to the brow of the cliff to throw him off the cliff. And do you know what? I'm always amazed by this. He just walked through the crowd and walked away. It was almost like, yeah, I'm not thinking about you. I'm getting on with what I've got to do. We need to remember this. A few years ago, my husband, Phil, gave me this key ring. I have this on my keys at work to remind me. It says, enjoy the little things. It's a small reminder to me through the day that there is enjoyment to be had, and you just need to remember it. A few people have commented at work, actually. Paul in Philippians 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. It's a command. It reminds us to rejoice. Now, I know that's not always a thing that you feel like doing. But if we can rejoice, if we can be thankful, then it changes our heart. And God really sees it. Do you know, when you're in the depth and you're thinking, I got nothing to say thank you for, and you start to say thank you, you start to rejoice. God really blesses you. Remember that verse in Luke 10:20 says, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So we're not rejoicing about our circumstances. We're rejoicing because we have a great God who promised us life and a relationship with him. Philippians goes on in verse 8 to remind us, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's a great list, isn't it? Yeah. So my kids will tell you there are certain things that I say regularly. One of them, at the end of a walk, saying, I think it's time for a nice cup of tea. Josh will predict it. Do you know, I know it's not pure, maybe. It's lovely. Make time to enjoy the small things. You know, we rush around so much. Sometimes you just need to stop and think, this is a really nice cup of tea. It might not be tea that does it for you. This week, Phil and I went up to North for a bit, and on Monday in the storm, I stood in the waves. I love standing in the waves. There's something admirable, definitely powerful about it. And there's just something. No, Josh! There's just something about it. Apparently, this is the other thing I say, and I was determined not to say it this morning. There's just something about standing in the waves and enjoying life. And I only remembered because he started laughing as I start to say it. Okay, but different things will bring you joy at different times. You know, I remember when my kids were really little, the fact that they got up and they gave you a big grin when they woke up because they saw you, it does something in your heart, okay? And so different things will bring you different things at different stages of your life. It's not theoretical, okay? It's available. Joy is available through grace, through God's presence, through community. It survives storms and it keeps us going. It's really good to reflect on the joy that God has brought you over the years. Maybe small moments, maybe big things. And if you look through the Old Testament regularly, they're told to look back and remember what God's already done. It's also good to look for God in the small things and be thankful for them and find joy in them, for that cup of tea, for that smile that you got from that person walking down the street. But I've got a challenge for you this week, okay? It's the beginning of school term, as I've already mentioned, and there are lots of changes happening for many people this week, and probably less of you than I really think, but, you know, I'm a teacher, so I think everything changes for everybody this week, but there we go. So at some point in this week, I want you to text a friend. You can include me if you've got my number in your phone already, but I want you to text a friend, and I want you to say something for that day that has helped you to cultivate joy, something that you've enjoyed that day, something that has reminded you of God, maybe, something that has just brought you a little bit of joy in your day. So that's my challenge for you. I'll see how many texts I get this week. But we're going to sing of God's joy.